This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon. We've got a bevy of spunks really here for you on Cravings this afternoon. Hayden Quinn, Dan Churchill, and a chap that I recorded earlier this morning, one in New York, one in Sydney, and you're also going to meet Jimmy Wong from this season's series of MasterChef. There's a lot of MasterChef going on. Stay tuned. Yes, good afternoon. We are talking cravings. It's almost, it's just after 6 minutes past one. Hello, my name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings, your weekly plate full of food and booze right here on your favourite gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. It's a delight to have your company. And today I'm going to introduce you to some people, a couple of them you've met before. Hayden Quinn is from Series 3 of MasterChef. He is the fellow that many of us fell in love with, a blonde surfy from Sydney's northern beaches. Alongside Dan Churchill from season 5 of MasterChef, another young fellow we fell in love with, both now together doing a show called Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation, the original Surfing the Menu, threw into the atmosphere, one Curtis Stone and the other Ben O'Donoghue, the pair of them sort of hoofing around and surfing and cooking and eating together. So we are delighted to introduce The Next Generation. It's a TV show that sits on ABC TV every Sunday evening. It's called Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation, and it is presented by one Hayden Quinn and Dan Churchill, both very fine young men. So we had a bit of a chat at a bit of an ungodly hour this morning because one of them is in New York. So I'll bring that chat to you very, very shortly. For those watching this season of MasterChef, there is a young man by the name of Jimmy Wong. He's a young man. He's of a certain vintage, I would think. One of the contestants that has been eliminated from the program, but is going on already to do some fantastic work and develop a career in food that he has wanted for so very long. So I have the pleasure of introducing you a little later to Jimmy Wong as well.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Dan Churchill from MasterChef. You're listening to Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Surfing the Menu TV series on ABC television puts two former MasterChef contestants together. From season 3, you've met him here before. His name is Hayden Quinn. And also from MasterChef, a couple of seasons later, you've met him here as well. His name is Dan Churchill. I have both of them on the line, one in New York, so we might end up with a bit of a ropey line, but they are both joining me. Gentlemen, hello.
Dan. Hello, Australia. How are you, H?
That's you, Dan, there in the US?
Correct. It's a pleasure to be on, mate. Good evening, mate. How you doing?
Good, thank you. I'm not sure if Hayden's yet jumped out of the shower. I thought he might be lousing about on a beach somewhere in a swimming costume, but it seems he's...
No, I'm right here.
There he is. Hello, Hayden, as well.
There he is.
I am in minimal clothing, though. You're right.
Excellent. We'll not take that any further for this particular hour of the day. I'm going to start with you, Dan. What are you doing in New York?
Well, effectively, I'm cooking. I'm I'm pretty much I'm on a show over here, and so us and then you, H and I, both have our own respective things that we're doing. So I'm opening restaurants and very involved in the digital scene over here, and just kind of pushing the understanding of bringing people together through food and tastiness, and doing a bit of travelling like we did in Surfing the Menu, and H is doing exactly the same thing.
Are you trying to take Curtis Stone's job?
No, definitely not. I think Curtis Stone's trying to take Curtis Stone's job. So I think we all have our own respective things, and that's what's great about the world. And there's so many different ways to skin a cat. There's so many different ways to share a message, and so we can all do it together, and which is awesome. And so we have our own way of doing it. So it's an exciting time to be in the world of food.
I think as Malcolm Turnbull said, it's an exciting time to be an Australian. Hayden Quinn. I did mention you're probably lounging about somewhere in a swimming cozy, not doing a great deal, but what's happening in the world of Hayden Quinn since we last spoke, apart from Surfing the Menu?
Apart from the fact that it's freezing here in Sydney and Dan's lapping up the sunshine, I'm really annoyed at that. I'm very jealous of him. How are you going, mate? I haven't spoken to him for a couple of days. So
well, you guys catch up and we'll just ignore you for a minute.
Snapchats of Hayden are making me feel good.
Now, I'm obviously always busy, just like Dan said. We both have our own respective projects on the bubble, as always, and for me, it's the same sort of thing. It's food, it's television, it's media. There's a potential new book that I'm working on that I got sitting on the sidelines, and just really enjoying pushing Surfing the Menu at the moment. Later in the year, Dan and I, we head off to Asia. We've got Bangkok, Singapore, Manila, Taipei, and some Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
On the sort of list of places we're going to as the show launches throughout Asia. So it's all... It's a very exciting time, and it's a fun show, and people have been getting right behind it. So
very good. Hey, I want to take you to task there, Hayden. You're moaning that it's currently 8 degrees in Sydney, and I would like to send you a picture of the snow on the Great Ocean Road, where you've probably had a bit of a surf, snowing there down at sea level yesterday night. It is, we're having rather a chilly snap here in Victoria, so I wouldn't be moaning about your 8 degrees, because for us that's positively tropical at the moment. People may remember the first generation, we'll call them the old guys of Surfing the Menu. This Next Generation program, how did it come about? Dan, how did you get involved with Hayden? Obviously, you guys became good mates. So how did Surfing the Menu come about for you?
Yeah, it was, what we love about the show and the project itself, it happens so organically. So H and I, as we established, we've been very good friends for a while, and both see each other out, whether it be, mutual friends or being on the northern beaches or on a surf, it's just, or even warfare. It was just, something we always did. We always saw each other. In the real world we're in with food and television and media, we're obviously crossing over. And when the project came up for us to do this by an amazing man called Lance Reynolds, who put this whole thing together with the lovely family of Regional Riders, Marion and Alan, it was kind of a no-brainer for H and I to work together, because, not only do we have our own, as we've talked about, our own way of doing things, but conformally, we work so well together, whether it's banter, working with each other's families, as you would have seen in the last episode. Where
With your nonna, she's adorable.
Yeah, she's so adorable. And, in all honesty, I say this over and again, you can have a lot of people come see her. I haven't seen her in quite a long time, and H was so respected about the situation. And so, that was a pure example of how the relationship between H and I is across both from professional but also friend kind of thing. So I guess in summation, it was just a no-brainer to get on something project of showing Australia.
And Hayden, was it the same for you? Was it a very organic thing that the two of you just thought this is easy?
Yeah, it's the job of a lifetime, really. It's hard to say no to an opportunity like that. You get pitched with when you're a young Aussie lad growing up on the beaches and love cooking, then you get pitched with an idea to go make a television show where you're basically surfing your way around the country and cooking food and meeting amazing people as we go. It was it was really a no-brainer. And for Dan and I, we'd done a couple of little YouTube videos, little YouTube clips together, and I think the production team and that, they saw that and they saw the chemistry and they saw the relationship that Dan and I have on and off screen. and they thought, you know, this will work. This is going to be really fun, really cool, really relaxed. And, yeah, that's what you see on Sunday nights. It's a cracker show, and we had a lot of fun making it. I think that's the most important thing. We had so much fun when we were traveling around the country.
It's very obvious, and what I have to talk about, you've talked there about your sort of your mateship and how easy this was to do in the chemistry. There is a bromance going on here that is very, very palpable. I don't know if others, my audience, I don't know if you're watching this show, but this relationship is really palpable. It is a lovely bromance. You seem to fit together very, very well, and I don't think that any editor in the world can make that sort of magic happen. I'm assuming you're doing a lot of takes to get this right, but Hayden, you've always been a bit of a one-take wonder. Is this is any of it manufactured, or is it as we see it? Do you get to do this really, really easily? I think that's the...
No, yeah. I think, you know, it is very easy for Dan and I, because we're both sort of bubbly, energetic people, and when we're filming, it's very much it's an ob-doc style, so observational documentary style when we're hanging out. Obviously, when we're cooking, you know, the cameras are a bit more set up, so they get the shots of the food and everything looks nice and sexy. But the boys, you know, they hit roll. The director, Mick, he just tells us to go with it. We know the food and we know each other, and we just basically the camera rolls and we have a laugh, and yeah, it all just sort of happens. And like you said, it's very hard to manufacture some of the things that Dan and I say and do.
Yes. And
if you were scripting that, you're doing very well.
Well, as I was going to ask, how much of it, if any of it, Dan, is scripted? Do you have to sort of get in your head what you're doing and how you're doing it and all that before you actually shoot? Or do you just say, look, you know, we're doing this spaghetti with the prawns and or the quinoa and the prawns and the fried rice or fried quinoa and off we go? You obviously have all of that pre-prepared, but do you, the two of you talk about the way you want this segment to work, or you just, you know, turn the cameras on and go?
To be honest, you know, you can't walk into a situation not knowing an individual. So, like, you know, we'd be going on and meeting people for the first time, and you can never really plan for that, even if you wanted to. And so when you really want to get the raw, real story out of something, you never want to plan ahead. So, I mean, the most planning, as H said, would have been us getting our recipes in order. Apart from, I mean, even then, H would be like, okay, mate, I'm making this recipe. And I'm like, hey, sweet, teach me it. You know what I mean? So that was never, and it was always banter going back and forth between that. When it comes to the actual thing, what you see is what you get. When we rocked up at a place, it was the first time we saw it. Like, one of the hardest things for H and I is we're very, I guess, we love being social, love meeting people and love hearing their story. So we had to be held back a lot of the time by the director because they wanted to see what our reactions were firsthand, and also the individuals we were dealing with, same thing. So for that reason, yeah, there was really no planning. Obviously, the plan that went involved was the locations we went to, the stories that we were going to try and get understanding of. But apart from that, when that was all game day, it was like day 16, you go in here, have fun. And that's pretty much how it worked out to an extent.
Hayden, is it really that easy?
Yeah, obviously there's, you know, the back of house guys. They're the ones that do all the hard work. They do all the research. They get out there on the road and do the recces and make sure that we're meeting the right people and the right locations, and that people have got the cool stories and they're going to be of interest to the Australian public. And then Dan and I, we just get a little bit of information on each of these people and have a bit of a read and a bit of a think about, you know, some of the questions that I guess the viewer at home might want to know. And then from there, we just roll out and go for it. And when it comes to food, you know, Dan and I, we have our recipes, and we know that there's certain points we need to hit for, you know, hot tips and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's really crazy. There are some long days on set, but we're always in a beautiful location. So there's
we are watching, and we are not jealous of your long days at all. In fact, we reckon you've got a pretty good job.
Mate, I think you're very much right.
Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn, my guests from Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation. You can watch it. You can actually thoroughly enjoy it on ABC TV on Sunday evening.
Hi, I'm Heston Blumenthal. You're with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Heston. It is Heston Week on MasterChef On Your Box. Channel 10, Sunday through Thursday, I think. I might be wrong. Sunday through Wednesday, definitely. We earlier this morning started a bit of a chat with Hayden Quinn from season 3, Dan Churchill season 5. They are doing a show called Surfing the Menu on ABC TV. Part 2 of that chat is with you this second. Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn, my guests from Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation. You can watch it. You can actually thoroughly enjoy it on ABC TV on Sunday evening. Guys, it's an interesting journey, I guess, and I hate the word journey because it's been absolutely violated by reality television. But I want to go back, you know, when you sat down and filled in, and Hayden, I'll go to you first because you were the earlier of the two of you. When you sat down and filled in that application to go on a reality cooking show, you'd seen probably seasons 1 and 2 before you jumped on board. Did you imagine that your dream, as you spoke of earlier, to be hoofing around the country with your good buddy in a V-dub, surfing, eating, cooking, and meeting cool people, did you imagine that that might happen, or was that the furthest thing from your mind?
That, to be honest, when I was filling out that application, sat at home in front of the TV on a rainy day, the only thought was, I love cooking, I love food, and this is going to be a really cool adventure, and I'll see how far I get. And if I don't get too far, my mates are going to have a laugh. And that's where we're at. And, you know, that passion for food and that passion for adventure and travel, I guess, hasn't really stopped. And super fortunate to have been given the opportunity, for one, just to get started on MasterChef, and then two, just to continue to learn and grow and develop through the guidance of all these different people that you come in touch with through the world of food and media and whatnot. So I, you know, I growing up, I'd watched Curtis and Ben on their Surfing the Menu show, but nowhere in my mind did I sit there and think, oh, you know, that's going to be me one day. Mm. It sort of all morphed. And, you know, as the dream and as the journey, as you said, continued, things became more closer to reality. So it was, yes, oh, this is an opportunity. We'll be able to do something like this. You know, it'll be some sort of food, some sort of travel, some sort of adventure. We're going to make it happen. And yeah, it all sort of transpired. And I think that's the big thing, is just creating what you want to do and making it happen.
Dan, your journey, I'm assuming, is the same. When you joined MasterChef, I think you were, correct me, if season 5 or season 6?
Yeah, it was season 5. And so, it was actually... It's actually funny because I had Hayden to be my guinea pig. I had a mutual friend with Hayden, so I got in touch with him and just said, mate, what's the go? If I pretty much do this, is it? And I explained the reasoning to why I was filling out the application, and you know, there's a reason why you want to go on these things, and there's a bigger reason for it rather than just being, you know, fortunate enough to be on the television for an extended period of time, but. So as I spoke to Hayden about it, he was just like, mate, you're in the right place, go for it. So I had him to thank for me to make sure I was on the right track in the first place. And yeah, as he said as well, we've been very, very, you know, fortunate to continue our journey. And if you said to me, filling out that thing, if this is where your headspace would be, and if I was living in New York, it'd be far, pretty far from where I thought I'd be. But, you know, it's exciting times, and you kind of just keep... You're stoked that everyone loves food, and there's a way of communicating with it. So, you know, going around the country is not a tough one, particularly if one of your mates. So I'll do it any day of the week.
Yeah, look, it looks like a very, very difficult life. You're both reasonably concerned about a healthy lifestyle. Dan, there's videos all over your website of you with your kit off and jumping out of a pool. Hayden, we all know from, I think, your time on MasterChef, you're not scared of getting your kit off either. Are we going to see Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation, the uncut version?
Oh, there's plenty of that. There's plenty of that, I can guarantee you. But we keep it to the board short. Yeah, maybe if it was on SBS at late night, it might be able to throw that on there. But
I'm pretty sure that ABC's never been scared of a bit of a nudity and an adult theme, particularly late at night. We might have to move your time slot. I guess there's a way of embracing that surfing culture that where people aren't scared to, you know, stand by the car and flip out of their wetsuit into a pair of board shorts or vice versa. So it's probably for my own gratification I asked that question. Hayden Quinn and Dan Churchill, surfing the menu, The Next Generation on ABC TV, joining me both from New York and Sydney. Hayden complaining about the horrible weather in Sydney and laughing my head off. Guys, I'm wanting to sort of just jump back a little bit before each of your times on MasterChef. And Dan, I'll start with you first. Your nonna, obviously influential in your younger life. Where did your desire or your love of the celebration and sharing of food come from? Was it from that Italian side of your background where that's the norm? Or did you discover at school that you could cook or like to cook? Where was your genesis for starting your own food exploration?
Well, it's quite interesting. So, I mean, Nonna lives, North Queensland. I'm from, born and raised Sydney. So I saw my extended family once a year. And so, but when we did get together, it'd always be these big meals, you know, typical style that, it was of the extended family. But it was, it was one thing that my family had in common, like a lot of families across not only Australia, but culturally across the world, is you sit down and eat. For me, we'd be watching television shows like Surfing the Menu or Jamie Oliver once a week. And it was funny because Dad would realise how much detail that not only Mum and himself, but also I'm in the middle of three boys, and so my two brothers and I would actually get into the cooking side of things, looking at techniques and the way things were done, the food and ingredients. And so from there, it's kind of my dad kind of wanted us to learn a skill, and so he put a timetable together. And so for about, 6.5 years, 7 years, I was cooking on a rotation or roster, as if I was, doing shift work.
Welcome to hospitality, yes.
yeah, pretty much. And like that, it was just, I grew to love it. And I loved the eating part, I loved the cooking part, but I loved the association of communal eating and bringing people together. And that's my true passion of food and that communal eating. So I just grew into it from that and wanted to challenge myself through restaurants and working with food and different techniques and then teaching it my own way.
Hayden, is it the same for you? Did you always have that love of food?
Yeah, for me, it's, again, like Dan said, it's a family thing. My mum was a home economist, so she used to teach people how to cook and why cooking was good for you and the economies around food. And I grew up in a household where, mum was whipping out these amazing dishes. And I was this annoying little kid that would be in the kitchen just constantly asking questions and bugging her all the time and annoying her and just continually in her face about this. Oh, how do you do this? Why do you do that? All these questions. And I think that sort of rubbed off and I soaked it all in. And then, as a way of learning, I'd watch, like Dan said, you'd watch Curtis and Ben on Surfing the Menu, you'd watch Jamie Oliver, you'd read the cookbooks, and, I was never professionally trained in any sort of food, but I've learnt from some of the best people in the world since going on MasterChef, and it's been an amazing opportunity, an amazing learning opportunity. So, yeah, food just was always a part of my family life, and it's now a great opportunity for me to be able to share it with others. And like Dan said, food is about sharing. It's about sharing love. It's about sharing happiness. And yeah, for Dan and I, it's about health and well-being and fueling your body so that you can get out there and do all those amazing things you want to do.
Well, that brings me to the next question. Anybody that's seen you, Hayden Quinn or Dan Churchill, on this program, you're both in very good nick, and you do it does appear that you do eat a lot. So, what's the secret? Where do you find the balance? Obviously, surfing and exercise and being in the gym and predominantly cooking with healthy ingredients is one of those things. But I eat and drink almost for a living, and I'm a fat bastard. Where do you find the balance?
I think for me, it's just about continually moving. It's all about continually keeping moving, keeping on top of yourself, and just understanding what works for your body. There's some things that I eat that Dan, wouldn't or couldn't eat, and there's some things that Dan eats that I just know I would never eat, and that wouldn't work well with my body. But I think, it's understanding who you are and who your food person is.
But Quinn, you also co-own a gym, don't you?
Yeah, I also have a.
Well, there's the answer for you, with, Dan. Let's leave him with his gym.
Have a gym with two mates.
Dan, obviously the travel, the whole thing. I know when I travel, I tend to probably be more naughty than when I'm at home. But
is it
something you are really conscious of?
Oh, look, you know, if I said no, I think Hayden slapped me across the head because he knows what I'm like when I'm on the road. But, you know, my background before cooking was, you know, my tertiary education is all in sport and exercise management. So, like, my understanding of it is pretty in-depth. But at the same time, traveling for me is that. It's travel. So you've got to understand where your boundaries are. And my biggest tip is always just control the controllable. So if you know you're going out to dinner and you have no idea what's on the menu, that's a night where you can just, you know, tick it off and say whatever.
I'll have the suckling pig thing. Yes.
Yeah, why not? And you're there to enjoy it. But if you're in a place where you can control more, you know, you have a bit more boundaries, then that's fine. But at the end of the day, the number one rule is, H and I both agree, number one rule is you must taste delicious. Food that's colourful, nourishing and healthy is not by any means boring. It just means that you've got to learn, as H said, what works for you. We're all different. We're all digesting differently. Just work out what works for you, everything in balance. And being active is super important, but again, within your own boundaries of what you can do in a day or a week, and the same thing with your food.
Excellent. Guys, I do have to let you go. I've got somebody stalking me outside for this studio. And secondly, I've now got to talk to the British about Brexit. So it's been a pleasure to catch up with you both. Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation, you'll find on ABC TV on Sunday evening. Go back and watch each of the episodes on iView. And I'm sure that the bromance that I've witnessed between these two will become blatantly evident for anybody who spends some time to watch the show. Guys, it's a fantastic show. Congratulations. Good luck on your Asian leg of this, and hopefully we can find you both in Melbourne at some point and get you in to do the show with me here.
We would love to do that, and lots of love to all your amazing listeners.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you, and I'm sure they're all sitting at home thanking you as well. That's Hayden Quinn and Dan Churchill. They are Surfing the Menu, The Next Generation, ABC TV on Sunday evening. Watch it. It's a bloody good show. I'll be back with more very shortly, including Jimmy Wong from the current season of MasterChef on Channel 10. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I am, of course, Pete Dillon.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the Featured Providers section within the iTunes Store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Lovers of MasterChef, we've been talking to our lovely friends, Hayden Quinn and Dan Churchill from seasons 3 and 5, who now have Surfing the Menu on your box on Sunday evening. Somebody else that's been on your box of late, he is one of the departed contestants from this season of MasterChef. His name is Jimmy Wong. He joins me on the phone. Jimmy, hello.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Yeah, mate, good to talk to you. What have you been doing since you left MasterChef?
Well, I've been doing a few things. Like, I've been trying to sort of keep in the game by going and doing a few shows. I did a demo over at Cake, Bake and Sweets a couple of weeks ago. Did a small pop-up this week at Salaryman and a charity gig over at Channel 10 for kids off the street.
Clearly keeping very, very busy.
Yeah, absolutely. How have you been doing?
Yeah, good, good. Now, I'm also led to believe that you've been doing a bit of work with Reynolds Pronomo at Koi.
Yes. Yeah, when I left, I actually had a bit of time and, you know, Reynolds needed some help. So I went down there and did some work experience with him.
Excellent. What's he like to work with?
I learned to work with a lot, you know. So right now with Reynolds, he's such an amazing creative genius. You know, learned everything from making the most wonderful mousses to different techniques of using nitro to placing. So I learned a lot from him.
Jimmy, let's take a bit of a journey backwards now. So the eldest of four children, where did your desire to cook or your love of food come from?
Oh, my love of food has always been there. Like, it hasn't always been about cooking. It's always been about eating and just really, you know, playing around with food. But it came from the time when I sort of finished university, did a lot of traveling, and then in that time came across some really amazing food around the different places, and really just having a love to try it at home, and that's where the passion for cooking came.
And so you're not alone either. Was your sister in the show?
Yeah, yeah. So that was quite an amazing time. Like, I mean, we had talked a little bit about this, and, you know, having an opportunity to, first of all, apply for the show. Never in a million years would we have ever thought that both of us would make it. Now, having had that opportunity now, it's been great to have her there, you know, supporting each other. But just really genuinely a good time having her around when I'm cooking.
Did you sit down intentionally and say, let's both apply for this? Because had she come from Canada?
Yeah, well, Teresa and I have sort of been working and living overseas for a little while, and that was for no other reason except some personal, you know, opportunities. But, yeah, she's been living in Canada for quite some time. We did sort of, or I actually started to sort of go do the process of actual application, and when I was talking to her one day, she's like, you know, she loves food a lot and she's always hesitated in applying. I said, why don't you do it? And one thing led to the next, and then we went to auditions together, and then we went to the judges' auditions together, and then we actually did the show together. That was just brilliant.
So she's kind of an inspiration for you, yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I love my little sister, and to be able to sort of cook and to be inspired by each other. Like, during this whole process, we also try to sort of help each other out by, you know, learning from each other, but also pushing each other. So there'd be times when we would just, she'd come over and stay at my place, and we would just cook something, and we would play by, you know, plating up something different and her style versus my style, and we critique each other.
Jimmy, what were you doing before MasterChef came about? What was your Monday to Friday?
Well, the Monday to Friday, I did a couple of things. I used to be head of retail design, which was looking after development of shopping malls. Mm-hmm. But I used to also be a retail designer. And of late, I was looking after a few countries for social sustainability for a group that I was working for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How much has your travel experiences, of which there appears to have been many, how much has that inspired a definitive style for you when it comes to food?
Travel, for me, has been the definitive style for me. Like, I mean, it exposes me to the different types of ingredients, you know, with different flavors, but that really has influenced how I cook and how I present things. You know, it's amazing how ingredients could be the same in different places. Just the combinations that you put together will take you either to Italy or to Burma or to Singapore. It's quite a real, I don't know, it has real meaning to me.
And Jimmy, who's your biggest critic? Obviously, we all have somebody who critiques our food. Who's yours?
My best critic is my partner, Jay. Absolutely brilliant. Like, every time when I sort of cook something wonderful, it's always some lovely comments coming through, and even if it's bad, it's still wonderful comments coming through. But definitely honest, and I really just appreciate that. I couldn't have gone through this whole thing without him.
And how long have you guys been together?
We've been together now for about going on 17 years.
Good Lord, you don't get that long for manslaughter in this country.
It's been brilliant.
And, Jimmy, if we had to think about a future, obviously you've done a bit of work post-MasterChef. Thinking about a future, what do you want to happen? What do you want this experience to be able to provide for you?
Well, a number of things. You know, there's two of my loves, which is people and food. I want to put that together. But eventually I do want to run food workshops for people. I have a real excitement about, you know, produce that comes from Tasmania, and somehow being able to merge workshops and local produce from Tasmania and actually being able to share that with people is exactly where I need to head down. I do have a couple of things planned on the way to that journey, and that's, you know, looking at pop-ups and so forth. So if people could follow me on, you know, Jimmy Wong Eats, that would be really wonderful, and I will be letting people know what's coming up.
Jimmy, there's a restaurant here in Melbourne currently under renovation called Pure South Dining, and there is a temporary test kitchen called 7000 by Pure South Dining, which focuses on produce from Tasmania. I don't know how long since you've been to Melbourne, but probably worth coming down for a bit of a look, mate.
Absolutely. That sounds like such a great opportunity to be able to do that. There's a number of people that I have in my line of vision that I want to sort of talk to. Rodney Gunn's another one that's amazing, that's done some amazing work down in Tasmania as well.
And a fellow by the name of David Moyle.
David Moyle, yes.
So he's a Melbourne boy, but he's been working in southern Tasmania, I think, for a long time, doing incredible things with food.
Absolutely. And part of this whole I keep on using the word journey, but it's also to really start understanding from the source. So in a couple of weeks, I'm actually going to be down in Tasmania to go and meet a few of the growers as well as, the, you know, the farmers, just to sort of see from the source, you know, what's making it special and how do I actually celebrate that when I talk to people.
Jimmy, I know the season is not finished, so there's precious little that you are legally allowed to divulge to us. But what has been the greatest part of the experience? Tell us a bit about, and I'd extend this out as much as you like, but you're there, you've got a whole bunch of people, you create very intense relationships with other people within the program. What was the whole experience like for you?
The whole experience has been, and without being too cliched, was absolutely amazing. But to me, the standout was actually really understanding who I am and about how far I can push myself. And I think, you know, we have a lot of highs and lows. As you know, with the show's format, there's a lot of pressure. And to be able to just pick yourself up when you're down and to be able to just, you know, I guess, really go beyond, and when you do go beyond, to be able to sort of pat yourself on the back and say, hey, that's pretty good. I think from a learning point of view, from a food perspective, you know, I've gone leaps and bounds. Like, I mean, the type of cook that I was when I first entered the show to what I am or what I feel I am right now and still learning has been millenniums apart. You know, it's been quite an amazing ride.
In what way?
In the fact that I look at food differently. You know, I look at to a greater degree, you know, the source of the food. I look at how to present it. I look at things like textures. I think about flavor pairings way more than I used to. I'm inspired by a lot of the people that have touched my path, you know, from chefs to the judges to the contestants, who really lent me the best of food. And for me, you know, being able to sort of take that on board and really grow who I am has been one of the greatest pleasures of my life anyway.
I know they're probably listening, or at least somebody from MasterChef is listening. Who is your favourite judge?
Okay, well, they all are, but to me, Matt has been incredible for a number of reasons. You know, George has been fantastic, and Gary's been fantastic, but Matt has this sort of real lovability about him. He used to come and talk to us just beforehand, gave us really good feedback afterwards, but, you know, he comes from the home cook point of view, which all of us are not professional chefs. You know, we're just ordinary cooks, but he comes to that point where we can really relate to.
Do you look at some of the contestants that have gone before you to see what they've achieved and how you can perhaps mirror some of their achievements? I spoke earlier in the program to Hayden Quinn and Dan Churchill, who are now presenting Surfing the Menu on the ABC. Are those guys inspiring for you or not?
Absolutely. Before, during, and after. And the reason why I say this, before, you know, they inspired me to go on the show because it was something, it was a love, and to sort of see them go through this journey was just inspiring. During the show itself, obviously, some have come, or as part of what I call the MasterChef alumni, had come to sort of give us some certain pressure tests, et cetera, et cetera. But being able to give us some guidance during the show as well was really helpful. And afterwards, you know, the things that we've done, like, for instance, I did a pop-up this week and I had a few of the alumni could come from season 2 and season 3 to come and support me. I did, when I went to Cake, Bake and Sweets, you know, I met up with a few of the contestants from season 3 to season 5, season 6. It was absolutely brilliant.
Good, Jimmy. We're grateful you made the time to talk to us today. Good luck with the rest of your journey, and we'll keep our eyes peeled to Channel 10 Sunday through Wednesday and watch the remainder of the journeys. Who's your pick to win?
To me, it's Matt. You know, Matt's a solid performer, and I'm backing Matt all the way, and my sister, of course.
Of course, because she would kill you if you didn't. Mate, good to talk to you, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, mate.
That's Jimmy Wong from MasterChef this season. Much more to come on that show, and stay tuned because I think we're going to be introduced to yet another very exciting Australian home cook. We have about 3.5 minutes before the Escape Pod folk are taking you travelling. They may even be talking about Britain.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, that's me done, boys and girls, for another week. Thank you for your company today. I need to say thank you to Alex, who sits on the front desk and keeps that lovely seat warm and welcomes my guests with open arms. I also need to thank Peter, who manages to get the podcast up every week. So thanks, Pete. As mentioned, Brexit is on the menu with the Escape Pod as they take you travelling. No doubt looking at the ramifications of Britain leaving the EU and what that means for those of you wishing to travel in that direction. I will be back next week. Until then, my name has been Pete Dillon. This is Cravings, and thank you for your company.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.